Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I come humbly before you this day as we open up this edition of the Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio with not hat in hand, not tail between the legs, but at your mercy.
Sufficiently chastened, perhaps?
I was sufficiently chastened, yes, indeed, Mr. Scalavino.
Sucky, sufficiently, sucky, sucky.
Sufficiently chastened by several fans after yesterday's program who thought
do?
I was entirely too negative. That, you know, well,
wouldn't
you know,
the first time we've been accused
way
of that.
Way too negative. What is this? Was this Ravens.com radio? I mean, you know, no, it's not. But I had to have several people actually talk me down out of the tree and tell me yesterday that the Patriots weren't going to lose these last two games and end up out of the playoffs. And you and I were just talking about, as PFW ends and the playbook begins, how quickly things change in the present-day National Football League when this time a week ago we're talking about the number one seed in the AFC. And this week, I have the unmitigated gall to say the Patriots might not make the playoffs. How does that happen?
Well, simple math. A week ago, Thursday, the Denver Broncos lost at home to the San Diego Chargers and gave the Patriots the opportunity to go to Miami, win a game, tie the record with the Broncos, and thereby get the tiebreaker for having beaten them earlier this year for the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. But they lost in Miami. They could lose this week. It's conceivable they lose the following week. Not, you know, a guarantee, but it's conceivable. They're in legitimate jeopardy of missing the playoffs entirely this year. That's just simple math.
Listen,
that's not being positive or negative. That's just looking
listen,
at facts.
I happen to agree, which is why I sort of, you know, that was one of my major nitpicks yesterday on Nitpick Tuesday.
Other things need to happen, sure, but
it's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's a distinct possibility.
Which is why it really puts as much pressure in my eyes this week on this game as it is on Baltimore to maintain themselves, because Baltimore's in a situation where if they lose to the Patriots at home this week, they could also find themselves out of the playoffs.
Let's face it, the playoffs have started already.
Oh, yeah, they have. They absolutely
they
have.
They started maybe a week or two ago.
I'd say within the last 2 weeks, sure. But, yeah, the playoffs are on. The
in
playoffs
earnest,
are on. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Right.
They're definitely
yeah.
this weekend going forward.
I agree.
It's playoff time.
Yep.
It's playoff football.
Mm-hmm. You have to go with that mindset. You have to win. If you don't win, you're done. You're toasted. Now, mathematically, I realize, and this is part of the reason behind the theme for today's program, because I realize that, okay, let's say they do stub their toe and they lose at Baltimore, which is a very likely possibility when you break it down, as Andy was talking about, and I happen to agree with him. But here's the thing. You still have a mathematic chance. First of all, if Miami somehow loses this week, you're handed the division title.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be no worse than
regardless
the four.
Regardless of what you do.
Regardless of what happens, you are handed the division title, and you are handed no worse than the four seed.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you're in. You're in the playoffs. You back your way in. Whatever you want to call it, you're in, and that's fine. But if you lose, Miami wins, then you've got to be, and I mentioned this on the program yesterday, if you didn't make it, you've got to beat Buffalo, which is a team that has nothing to lose themselves. They're not going anywhere. You know that they love to spoil your season. They damn near did it in the season opener, you know, because, you know,
yeah.
it was a game that we all thought, the Patriots won easily. It didn't quite
came
turn
down
out
to
that
Gostowski.
Way. Came right down to the end of it. So, you know, that's number one. And number two, even perhaps more important, at this stage of the game, you get no time to rest your wounded or your weary, because you're going to go right from that last
boy,
game
they need it.
Into a wild card matchup. And this team needs that bye in the worst possible way.
Mm-hmm.
More so this year, perhaps, than any other year in recent memory. They need it, as do a lot of other teams, which is why I think, you know, it's going to take an extraordinary run for seeds 3 through 6 to put this together. If you really take a good, close look at the rosters, once we get the playoffs decided here in a couple of weeks and we know who's going to be in the tournament, you're really going to have to take a good, close look at who's available. Because if everybody is kind of in an even bag here, I'm liking either the 1 or the 2 out of either conference. You know, Seattle, you know, is going to be the one
in
the
NFC.
Seattle looks pretty tough, but I again will maintain here that this is the year that if you want to take a team like that, this is the year to pop them, because the best team from top to bottom might not win this year, because you are going to be on the great equalizer of MetLife Stadium in the first weekend, first Sunday in February, where the weather could, you know, wreak havoc on anything that a team like Seattle may be able to do.
It's interesting, too, that in both conferences, you have perhaps the two best teams in the same division.
Yeah.
With Denver and Kansas City.
And you have Seattle and San Francisco in the NFC West.
Meaning that the lesser of the two has to play on wild card weekend as a wild card, which means they have to be on the road.
Have you ever been an advocate for reseeding? In other words, say Kansas City has to get in at the 5 and then sort of
reshuffle
the deck based on records or whatever?
No, because I do think it's still tough to win your division.
Mm-hmm.
Even though some divisions are admittedly very weak, and it might be easier to win one division than another division, but it's still tough to win your division. I think what I wouldn't be totally against, though, is reseeding both conferences together and having a playoff system where so you could get 2 AFC teams in the Super Bowl or 2 NFC teams in the Super Bowl. I would be willing to consider that option if you just ranked every team in the pool and did it that way so that you could try to get the very best at the top, the very worst at the bottom.
I've long thought that the NFL probably does it as well as any sports league.
But I have no problem with the way they have it now.
Yeah, so because it seems like the playoff berth, and I know they're talking about adding another playoff team.
No,
I hope they don't.
No,
I really hope they don't, because I think the NFL's got it right.
I don't want this to become the NHL.
No, you got 6 teams. You got 12 teams out of 32 that are worthy.
It should mean something to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not half of the teams in the playoffs, which, you know, we're working toward.
I don't want that.
It should make mean something. I agree with that.
I don't want teams with losing records getting in the playoffs on a regular basis, which could be possible if they go to expand it.
Right. All right. So because I was, you know, castigated yesterday, let's put it that way.
Wow. Are you sore today?
No. I'm actually in pretty good shape today, believe it or not. Workout's coming up a little later on, though. I have to admit that, all right, I'm trying to spin this as positively as I can. And in interest of trying to, you know, balance myself and sit on both sides of the fence so I can get hammered from both sides. I thought I would open up with the program today with a general question to all of our listeners, especially those that might be listening today if they haven't already given up on me after yesterday. But for those that, you know, would be back again today and just ask a very simple question. I want you to pick one aspect of this Patriots football team right now. Pick one thing. I'm not asking for 2 or 3 or 7 or 12. One thing. This Patriots football team that's working well right now. Give me one. One item. One player. One facet. One coach. One whatever. One thing that's working well, that's going well right now, that you feel like is a reason that New England remains a favorite once the playoff tournament starts. Give me a reason. And I will tell you, right now, I can't really come up with any. It's not because I haven't tried. But for everything that I come up with personally, and some of them are obvious, like, oh, well, Tom Brady, right? TB12, he's all the quarterback.
He's not a great year.
Okay, no, he hasn't. So for everything that you give me, I think I've got an argument the other way that would refute it. Now, I'm going to wait and I'm going to challenge our listeners. I'm going to challenge them today to see if they can't stump me on this one. We're going to play Stump the Dork in here in studio today because, you know, or the geek or the nerd or whatever you want to call me, but that's what we're going to try to do today. I'm kind of doing this for my own education process here because I'm sitting here trying to convince myself this team has every bit of good a chance of having success, not only getting into the playoffs, but having every bit as good a chance to have success as anybody else in the AFC. And I keep coming up with answers that refute that. Myself, in my head. I got several voices going on in my head, as you well know. I got, you know, but this one's really loud today. Really loud today. So I'm asking our listeners for the help. I need one good thing. One positive thing. One aspect. One player. One coach. One play. One something. One. Just one. That's all I'm looking for.
Steven Gostkowski?
Yes, but his last game was...
That's aberration.
Aberration. All right, that may very well be. But as we just talked about with Andy coming in, this the one game this year where you feel like you might be outmanned at kicker because of what Justin Tucker has meant to Baltimore. Dude is money. Mm. He is absolutely... Did you see the nickname that the Baltimore media has put on him now?
No.
Legatron.
That was the guy from St. Louis.
Zerline, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was his nickname.
Now Baltimore's calling him Legatron. I thought that's right. Zerline had that.
Yeah,
before.
Zerline. Yeah, he did. Zerline's kind of fallen off.
Yeah, but that was his nickname.
No, I totally agree with
that. But Baltimore stuck that on it. I've seen it already.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's weak. Just can't steal another guy's nickname.
Justin Tucker seems like a pretty cool guy too. Like from the interviews that I've seen, like when he gave the shout out to the fantasy football. I know he's a Texas
guy. He's a Texas guy.
Okay, that's all.
Thought you were giving me the shocker for a second. But anyway, you forgot to mention another great thing that we need to keep coming in today.
Yes.
With the Facebook post, the emails, the calls. Remember our Christmas party yesterday?
Oh, of course.
You gotta introduce Eric to the idea.
Of course. All right. So let me set the table. Webradio@patriots.com, our email address. The toll free telephone number 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Yes, we're over 2K. Thank you very much. Finally. Took me forever to get there. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the spelling of the last name on Facebook. So you got to come up with one thing. That's the theme. That's the primary thing. One good, positive thing, player, coach, team, aspect, play, whatever, right now that can hold up. That's a real positive about this New England team going into the last 2 weeks of this regular season, a regular season that may end up without playoffs unless some things break right. That's number one. Number two, want to continue the thought process, as Kevin just said, from yesterday, because we're only going to have one show next week, and it'll be after Christmas, so we're going to kind of celebrate Christmas this week and the holidays with everybody. This is our virtual, our on-air Patriots.com radio Christmas party. We started yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're into day two. Tomorrow will be day three.
Oh, all right.
Okay?
All right.
What I'm asking, if you didn't tune in yesterday, and I had several good contributions yesterday, I need you to bring three things to the party. Number one, your favorite beverage, no matter what it is. Number two, what snack are you bringing along for all of us to share in? And number three, what music are we going to be listening to during this party?
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to be invited, you want to be a part of the party, you got to come to the table with these three gifts.
Has anyone brought eggnog yet?
We had one person with eggnog, holiday nog, which I assume had a little something in it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'll bring the tame version.
You'll bring the tame version?
Yeah.
Okay. We had soda, we had chips, we had salsa. We also had some really good stuff, too. Mm-hmm.
All right. What was the second one?
Snack.
A snack item?
Yeah, snack.
What types of cookies have been brought already?
No specifics.
My favorites are the, I think they're like, they're peanut butter balls.
Yeah,
with
we had one
Hershey's Kiss
chocolate chip, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, chocolate chip was on it. Yeah,
you know they're like little Hershey's Kiss drops.
Yeah, yeah.
With the they're peanut butter balls on the bottom.
Those are deadly.
Those are my favorites. So
okay.
I'll bring those.
You bring those and the eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then what music CD are you bringing for us to enjoy?
Christmas with the Rat Pack.
The Rat Pack. Okay. You know what? That's not a bad idea. That's a good one.
Sinatra, Dean Martin.
I had somebody come up with a Michael Bublé thing yesterday, and I was like,
Sammy Davis Jr.
That would be good,
guys.
Though.
I have that CD,
okay.
Actually.
You're an old soul, aren't you?
Yeah.
We actually had someone.
You really are.
Yeah. Eric, we had someone recommend they would bring Fred Zeppelin to the party.
Fred Zeppelin.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
gonna make you sweat. Gonna make you
sweat. I like that Fred Zeppelin.
Oh, Lord.
That was an excellent
idea. Let me know when he's coming so I can Fred show up Zeppelin. Before.
And
leave early.
And be gone, right? Mm. All right. So you got to bring those things to the Patriots.com radio Patriots Playbook Christmas party. Okay, so we're expecting.
So I'm invited.
That. Yes, you are right. Invited. You brought some stuff. Yep. You brought things, so that's all right. You're invited. Come on into the party, and we're going to continue that through the process today and even tomorrow as well. Jeff Zrebeck, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun, will join us here in approximately 5 to 10 minutes. And then, of course, in hour number two, it's going to be exclusively yours because, quite frankly, I'm sure that there are some that, you know, want to nuke me on, you know, the questions that I'm asking, which is perfectly fine. But I'm really hoping now for my own edification here, I'm hoping that you can cause me to go, I didn't think of that. Because I've been killing myself over this for the last couple of days. I'm not coming up with anything. I'm coming up empty. So I need a little help. Let's start it off with Sean, who's been kind enough to wait here in Connecticut on the playbook. Sean, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Huge fan. Usually dial in or usually listen out on the iPhone in the morning and after work. So a rare occasion for me to be able to call in live. One question before we start. How can this game be flexed downward from the primetime game Sunday night, the replay of the AFC Championship last year? How can the NFL have flexed that game to back to the 4:30?
Well, based on what I understand of the knowledge, it had to do with the number of games that were shared between the networks, and each network needs to be somewhat even in terms of its distribution of primetime games, or a number of teams coming from the conferences. And I guess, in this particular instance, Fox was due another, or the Fox teams, if you will, were due another primetime game, which is why the Patriots and the Ravens were flexed out, and the NFC, which obviously in this particular instance, the game does mean something. So it has playoffs
on the outcome.
They didn't give you a down deal here. So I think that's really all it boils down to. That's why this game was flexed out of the primetime game Sunday.
Obviously being a Patriots fan might be a little biased. But having the AFC Championship, you know, reignition spot, that should have kept there.
Hey, listen, we're not complaining for those of us who have to work.
No. If you got a deadline, believe me, 4:25 is more favorable than 8:25 in terms of kickoff.
Sure. I actually was going to try to make a trip down there Sunday to see it at night, but anyway, that we'll move on from there. But I had an observation which might tie into this, you know, who's playing well right now at this point. And I don't know about you guys, but that game, that start to Miami, I was feeling good. And I thought LeGarrette Blount had something. And, you know, I went over kind of the stats of the game, right? The Patriots had 10 possessions, offensive possessions. And on the first possession, Blount got the ball 6 times for 31 yards. Either a run, I think he caught like a short screen pass. Then in the second possession, no play. Third possession, we give it to him once, and he's done for the half. We bring him back in the sixth possession. We hand it to him twice. Seventh possession, zero. Eighth possession, we give it to him twice. And my point is, you guys know from following and playing sports, some days players have it and some players don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to bring the question McDaniel's play call. I mean, this whole thing where, like, everybody's got to touch the ball. We have to have every type of scenario. I don't know if you guys have talked about it much. But I think McDaniel's play calling this year is should be talked about. I think he should be brought into question. I wanted to get your guys' opinion on that.
Well, I mean, I do. I see your point in wanting to go with the hot hand. And certainly Blount was playing pretty well to start that game in Miami. They have so much talent there, though, at the running back position, you know, with Vereen and Ridley, Blount. I mean, it's almost an embarrassment that they have that many players that they want to shuffle into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree, though, that some of Josh's play calling has been a little, you know, like, for instance, they were down in the red zone. I forget when it was exactly, but no running plays. They were, like, inside the 10. No, not even an attempt to run the ball. They threw it every time. I mean, have a little faith in this talented running backs you have to run the ball.
Or even,
you know?
Even in the fourth quarter, down a touchdown, they had a second and 10 from, I believe, like the 13-yard line. LeGarrette Blount bowls over half the Miami defense.
Yep.
It's 8 yards.
Yep. Yeah.
Creates a
that might have been
and,
the one.
Creates
yeah.
a third and two
right, and they
from
threw
the
ball.
Five,
mm.
and they
th-
and
they
throw a the situation ball. Where if you run and you're just short, you probably go for it on fourth down, down a touchdown in the fourth.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, and you throw the ball, and you throw.
If you're a
like,
championship contending team, you have
you
to gain,
run the
especially
ball.
Two
when,
yards
when,
and two
when
play.
Brown gets 8 yards the attempt before.
Yeah. So I agree with you on some of the play calling. I I'm a little reluctant, though, to question who he puts in the game and when, because just because when you have that kind of talent, you kind of...
I'm not reluctant to question that. You know, this has got to be Stephen Ridley's team. If it's not Stephen Ridley's team, if for some reason or another he's still in a doghouse because he's having trouble holding on to the football, shame on them. Shame on them, and I said this yesterday, shame on the Patriots for instituting a junior high school-like atmosphere in the locker room. Penalizing somebody. Mike Hoach in junior high, and I mentioned the guy's name yesterday. His name was Bogus. Believe it or not, that's the guy's last name. It was Coach Bogus. Okay? That's a true story. He's long since gone, so I can talk about him now. But here's the thing. Coach Bogus would automatically, if you couldn't hold on to the ball, he'd automatically sit you down. All right, son, you can't hold the ball. You got to go. Right? So that's all I remember from, you know, all right, I understand. Punitive, you know, action and equal and opposite reaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the time for this in the pros. He's clearly the number one back. He's clearly the best option you have at trying to pound between the tackles. He runs a little upright. He sometimes, you know, has that spin that infuriates everybody where his arms fly up and leaves the ball open to get punched at. I think we've all seen that. He's still your best option every down at running back. For him to not be in that game and for the offense, the play callers, whomever, to not game plan for him and figure out a way to get both him and Vereen on the field at the same time, shame on them. They're not doing their job. That's
you know,
what
guys,
I think.
Either one you pick, right? I mean, think about it. Blount had 11 carries for the whole game. He didn't even break a sweat. Ridley had 8 carries.
I know.
I mean, pick one and go with it.
I don't know. I don't know how you don't. How does he get 8 carries? I mean, that's ridiculous. They've got to commit to the run.
Also, because Tom Brady threw 55 times.
But what did we get more? What did we have more results with last week? Really, overall. I mean, yeah, I know Brady threw 55 times, and clearly he was able to, you know, connect in the second half, and I think that's all fine and good. But they were also picking up yardage too with the run. You might have been able to hold on to the ball longer than you did if you commit to the run and stay with the run, would give Miami fewer opportunities.
I agree. I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that.
All I'm saying is I find the choice is curious, and that this team is probably moving away, play calling wise, from its true strength. And I think that is a stubbornness on the powers that be. In terms of not really realizing what they have on the field, their personnel, what their true strengths are and what their true weaknesses are. They're trying to run to a system. They are not, or play to a system. They are not trying to play to the talent that is available on hand. And I think that's been one of the biggest problems that New England has had all year long. Can't be any more succinct than that. Yes, Sean.
I haven't brought that up yet, too, but I don't know, and I don't know if that's the Bill call or McDaniel's call, but end of the first half, right? I think about 32 seconds, I could be wrong, 30-plus seconds, 2 timeouts, and we're just happy to go into the half up by 3. I mean, where'd that killer instinct go, right? We saw Denver get burned by that last year by the Raiders. At the end of the game,
Sean, a lot of the killer instinct that we all wish that the Patriots had is a byproduct of maturity on the field. You know, this team is still relatively young, and I think having that killer instinct is something that you don't either have or you don't have. I think it's something that you have to learn to develop. And I just don't think that this team is developed to the point where they can display that as often as we would like them to. I think we've seen it in fits and giggles, but other than that, I think that's something that's going to have to continue to develop. I wish it could be better. I just don't think it can, because you have to realize how many, you know, first and second year players this team actually has on the roster, which is a lot. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, and again, you know, when you watch the team a lot and you're a big fan, you obviously get biased. But
of course.
Even McDaniels is very predictable.
Yeah.
It's very predictable. You know what you got. And I think other teams, good teams, are basically daring us to run. And especially with Gronk out, if we don't go back to a heavy run game.
I know.
I don't think we have a shot for the rest of the year.
I'm right there with you on that one. Right there with you on that one. All right, Sean, what are you bringing to the party?
Beverage first. What do you got?
Beverage first, Irish car bomb.
Ooh. What's that?
That's a shot of whiskey of your choice dropped into a Guinness, and then you pound the whole thing at
once. Oh, nice. Nice.
You can do a shot of Jameson.
Nice.
You got a Jameson drop into a pint of Guinness, and you have a little room, so a 20-ounce glass.
You're rocking and rolling. All right, I'm digging that. I'm digging that. All right, how about a snack?
How about a snack is venison sausage.
Ooh.
Venison sausage,
little,
is that what we said?
Little spice to it,
venison
maybe?
Sauce.
Little spice?
John's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm digging it. All right, and what music are you bringing?
I think we got to bring a little Dropkick Murphy.
Oh.
They have a Christmas album?
Irish theme, right?
Wait, they have a Christmas album?
Like it.
I don't think they do, but maybe that we should put a request in for that.
Nice. All right, Sean, you're definitely invited, brother. He's definitely
gotta
invited.
Got to bring Christmas music to a Christmas party.
Yeah, I know, but I don't mind a little Dropkick Murphy, too. That's okay. It's all right. We're going to mix. We got an eclectic playlist here.
Play non-Christmas music at a Christmas party.
Don't be a stuffed shirt. A potty is a potty, all right? Don't be a stuffed shirt. Got
to
be.
You need to go potty.
Well, I've been accused of that before. All right, let's
potty mouth.
Hang on the phone. Mike. Hang on. All right. And Jeff Zrebic, who covers the Dolphins, the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun, joined us here inside the playbook. Jeff, it's John and Eric here in Foxborough. Thanks for taking some time today.
No problem. How you guys doing?
Great.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. All right, number one. Biggest difference in your estimation right now in this Ravens team between now and, you know, as we head into week 16 and what we saw earlier in the year, say, I don't know, about week 4 when this team was struggling to put anything together. What do you feel like is the biggest improvement, the biggest difference in Baltimore?
I think it might surprise, but I think it's special teams. They're still struggling to run the ball. The downfield passing game still really hasn't clicked. Flacco is still maybe playing a little better, but he's been kind of the same quarterback all year. But, you know, when they got a healthy Jacoby Jones back, that he's been a difference maker. I mean, he's put them in a ton of good field position. He's scored. He's really helped jumpstart an offense that struggled to score in the red zone. And obviously everyone knows about Justin Tucker, who hasn't missed since week two. So when you combine those two guys, I mean, they've been kind of two of their biggest weapons since the beginning of the season. That's the reason why when they were in the beginning of the year, when they were losing close games, now they're finding ways to win them because Tucker's been so clutch and because Jacoby Jones making a lot of big plays, special teams late.
Yeah, 9 games for this team, decided by 3-4 points or less, correct?
Yeah.
That's, first of all, that's incredible. Number two, though, that tells you, though, that while I think they started, 2-4 in those close games, they've won, 3 in a row now close games. So that would indicate that maybe they're finally figuring something out.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that's battle-tested, obviously the Patriots are as well, where, they get in a situation if they get behind late in games like they've been now two back-to-back weeks, they scored 3. Go ahead touchdowns in the last 2 minutes, 5 seconds of the Vikings game 2 minutes ago. Monday night against Detroit, they scored, when they got the ball trailing with under 2.5 left. I mean, Flacco is really at his best late in game. You know, as I mentioned, Tucker, and they're a team that, you know, they've been through it. I mean, they've been in huge games. They've played in tough environments, and if they're trailing a little bit or they're struggling a little bit, it really doesn't faze them. It's kind of a been there, done that thing, and I think above all, that's sort of what makes them dangerous here coming down the stretch.
All right, so we've seen where this team still seems to have some of the key pieces to the puzzle in place, from a team that won the Super Bowl last year and beat these Patriots here in Foxborough last year to get to that Super Bowl as well. So has there been any carryover, and is it from last year, and has any of it, you know, sort of reared its head of late in the way this team has played, in your estimation?
Yeah, you know, I do. The defense is completely turned around. I mean, completely overhauled. I mean, obviously, there's no Ed Reed and there's no Ray Lewis. Those are the two, you know, most notable names. But it goes well beyond that. You know, Kerry Williams and Danelle Ellerbe and Paul Kruger and Kimoyatsu, they're starting nose tackle last year. It's a completely different group. So it's really hard to tell with those guys. But I think on offense, you know, Joe Flacco has always played his best when he doesn't kind of have to think that much. I mean, when they can just kind of, they go quickly and he can just make decisions and get the ball out. And that's sort of what's been happening a little more, you know, sometimes by necessity, because they've been a little behind. And he's been very good in the fourth quarter lately. You know, 2 weeks ago against Minnesota, you know, will struggle the whole game. And then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden he's a different quarterback. And the whole formula that they sort of used down the stretch, I mean, it was really the second half of that Patriots game in the AFC Championship where they just put the game on Flacco. I mean, they really didn't do anything offensively for the first half. And at halftime, they made the decision, look, you know, this is we're a passing team now. This is Joe Flacco's game. And they kept going up and down the field on the Patriots in the second half. And that's sort of the formula that they've tried to keep since. I mean, they're really not a running-oriented team anymore. And that's sort of what they're doing a lot more now, and some of it also is by necessity because the running game has struggled so much. So I think that's what you'll see a lot of. I think you'll see Joe Flacco off the ball in his hands. I think you'll see them try to move quick, use three or four wide receivers, you know, set up a mismatches with their tight ends in the slot, and just sort of go from there.
Has he lived up to the expectations that brand new heavy-handed contract would have put on his shoulders?
I don't know if it's humanly possible to live up to a $120.6 million contract unless you win another Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But Joe Flacco, I don't, you know, people in Baltimore are pretty honest about Joe Flacco. He's a perfect fit for this team. I think most people realize that he is flawed in a way. He's going to have some games where you just kind of scratch your head. He's going to make some throws where you're like, what is he thinking? He's a winner, you know. They trust him late in games. He's durable. I'm sure you guys saw that hit he took the other night. I mean, I don't know how he came away from that one, and it looks like he may be limited a little this week. He's expected to play. So in the sense of being tough, being durable, being clutch, he has lived up to it. In terms of, you know, when you look at that contract, you expect him to put up, you know, video game numbers, Drew Brees numbers and all that, but that's never going to be the quarterback he is. You know, that's not what they expect out of him here. They're never going to have an offense like the Saints and some of these other teams. So, but as far as being a perfect fit for what the Ravens try to do and kind of the personality of the team, he certainly lived up to it.
Why do you think the running game has struggled this year? I mean, Ray Rice is still a talented back, no?
I think, first of all, the offensive line, I think they really miss Matt Burke, you know, even beyond just the physical aspect. You know, Matt Burke was the leader on that group. You put guys in right positions. He made the line calls. They really missed him. Their guard, Kalechi Osemele, who had a really good year last year, you know, he's out for the season with a back injury. They had McKinney earlier in the year, who's not a good run blocker. They've since gotten rid of him and moved on to Eugene Monroe. So I think the biggest reason is the offensive line. I think another reason is they switched offensive lines. They switched some philosophies. You know, they hired Juan Castillo, the longtime offensive line coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they sort of switched the way they were doing some stuff, and it took a little while for the offensive line to grasp the concepts. And then I think the other thing is I think Ray Rice, you know, he had the hip injury early. And I don't think he's been as explosive and as elusive as, you know, you've seen from him in the past. You know, I think, that, you know, he ran the ball almost every play at Rutgers. You know, he was their whole offense. And then he comes to Baltimore, and he's had a lot of carries over the year. I think he slowed down a little, and I think the injuries have, you know, have caught up with him a little this year. But he has shown some signs. He's starting to break a few more tackles. But I think overall it starts and ends with the offensive line. But Rice certainly could do his part by being more explosive and elusive.
Jeff Zrebic covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun, joining us here in the playbook. All right, this team has won an AFC best four in a row. They're holding on to the sixth playoff spot in the AFC as of today. But the divisional title is within eyeshot now because of the Bengals' bungles of late. Is that important to this team to get to the division championship?
Yeah, absolutely, because that probably means that they're going to get a first round home game where they've been really, really good over the years. So they've never abandoned hope, even when they were falling three and a half games behind the Bengals. They've never abandoned hope that they could win that division. So they still, that's the first thing they have their eyes on, but obviously they feel like they just need to get in the playoffs, and once they get in, they're capable of doing some damage.
Fair enough. So then, what's been the best aspect? Flip it to the other side for a moment, because Eric was just asking about, you know, the running game, and we were talking a little bit. You mentioned earlier a little bit about the defense. What's been the best aspect of this revamped defense that maybe sort of kind of limped under the radar just a little bit? I noticed that, you know, a player like Matt Elam seems to be kind of moving his way into a bit more of a leadership role, but I'm sure he's kind of been subservient to some of the veteran players that are on that defense as well. Is that just my imagination, or does he seem to be kind of stepping in maybe into an Ed Reed like role?
Yeah, he's playing a little better. The Lions game was certainly his best game of the season. You know, it's just, I think a big part of it is just the whole, you know, these guys getting to know each other. There was a ton of communication errors, and when you have 7 or 8 new starters on defense, you're going to have communication errors. It took a while for all these guys to get on the same page. And Elam, you know, being a rookie, learning his role, he's still kind of playing, you know, he's still kind of playing out of position. He probably would be best served as a strong safety, but they need him to play free safety because, you know, a guy you guys know ahead of Bo is playing in the other spot. So that's part of it. Early in the season, the best part of their defense was their pass rush with Dumerville and Suggs and Nod and Canty. But that has really slowed down. I mean, they've really struggled to get to the passer lately. And since, the strength has kind of become on the back end. And that's a surprise to a lot of people because everyone saw how Peyton Manning lit them up in the first game of the season. Their secondary was brutal early in the year. But, you know, Jimmy Smith has really emerged as a capable cornerback. And Lardarius Webb has always been a pretty good cornerback. And he had his torn ACL last year, and he knocked off some rust this year. Now he's playing much better. You mentioned Elam. So their secondary has sort of keyed the improvement on defense.
I tell you what, though, Jeff, I still worry about Baltimore's front because the Patriots have a tough time against teams that have solid players in the front seven. And I still think I'm still worried about Suggs and Nada and all those guys you mentioned going up against this offensive line, especially in the condition that it's in right now, this New England offensive line, a little bit banged up.
Yeah, and you know, we talked to Coach Belichick earlier, and I'm sure he's saying the same thing to us as he says, as he's, you know, saying to the Patriots media. He's, you know, they have an awful lot of respect for guys like Goddard, Suggs, and Dumerville. I mean, these guys are among, you know, perennial Pro Bowl players, and, you know, that's still the Ravens' greatest defensive weapon. I mean, their ability to get out of the passer, and, you know, you figure these guys will, you know, everyone knows how Terrell Suggs feels about Tom Brady, and you figure he'll be up for the game, and so, yeah, they're dangerous, it's no doubt, but, you know, the production has been down a little from those guys, although Haloti Ngata played a heck of a game on Monday night. You know, Suggs has been held without a sack now for 6 games. I mean, that's the longest stretch of his career since 2006, so they certainly need Suggs to get going. They need, you know, Dumerville to come back from his injury a little bit, but you figure the Patriots being across the field will really have these guys ready to go because, you know, they relish challenges like this.
I was just going to say, you think T. Sizzle has sent a Christmas card to Tom Brady's family this week?
I don't think so, but no. Suggs, we'll see tonight. He's supposed to talk to us around 5 o'clock tonight, but Suggs has been different this year. I don't know if he's kind of trying to be a more serious leader because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are gone, but he hasn't provided many good sound bites this year. It's been a little disappointing. So I'm not sure if he's going to have anything to say to Mr. Brady. But usually if he says anything about anybody, it is Brady. So we'll see tonight. But no, I don't expect there to be many pleasantries on the field Sunday afternoon.
Well, especially when you consider that left tackle, Nate Solder, who played with a concussion for three quarters of the Miami game, couldn't play the final quarter, was replaced by Logan Mankins, hothead on the field, as we know. Great guy off the field, hothead on the field. And Solder was not at practice today, so if 2 weeks in a row with a concussion, if he can't go, expect Mankins to play left tackle, and a Mankins-Suggs matchup will be entertaining,
to say the
least.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, and I mean, Suggs hasn't had much success against Brady now. The Ravens play the Patriots almost as much as they play the Steelers nowadays. It seems they always meet in the regular season of the playoffs. And Suggs, I only think, only has about three or four career sacks against the Patriots in all those meetings. So the Patriots have certainly gotten the better of them.
All right, Jeff. Hey, thanks for the insight. It's greatly appreciated.
Take care, guys. Enjoy the game.
All right. Well, thanks. We'll do. That's Jeff Zriebeck again, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. All right. Got just a couple minutes left in the opening hour here because I know you got to work, off to some work here today, an interview coming up as well. So let me quickly see if I can grab a phone call here. Mike in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Thanks, man. Listen, my battery's almost dead, so I need to get off a couple of things. I've been wanting to call you guys, and is Eric still there?
Yes.
Right here. What's up?
Okay. Listen, I'd like for you guys to answer a couple questions as best you can. For everybody there, let me get off three questions. Brady or Belichick is the question. I'd like for all three of you guys to answer that one.
What context?
Who's more responsible for 14 years of unmatched success? Okay? Yeah. Think about that one for a minute. And then, Eric, I want to commend you on your ripping of, I think it was Tavon Wilson a couple of years ago. You were right on that one.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if it's possible you could do a study or a little breakdown sometime in TFW on the second rounders. A lot of people still giving Belichick a lot of credit, but I think we've had the most second rounders in the league in the last, 10 years. And I'd like to compare that to other teams, draft-wise. And then, Eric, if you could expand a little bit on a rant you went on before on PFW about players not caring. I thought that was really interesting, but I'd like to get more on that. If you could expound maybe some names, maybe some details on that. And then lastly, guys, any other team in the league that has had such a sucky defense for 6 years? Thank you very much. And the thing you take to party is hot chicks. That's it. Thank you.
All right, you're in.
You're in. Bring them all. All right.
Wow.
I'll let you tackle
Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that without the other, it's too close to call because without a Brady, Belichick is nothing, as we saw in Cleveland. He was on his way to winning a Super Bowl. Maybe as the organization was maybe on the right track in Cleveland, but I'm not sure he could have gotten it done without a guy like Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, if you put Tom Brady on, I don't know, Jacksonville or any other team,
that's fair.
I don't think he has three Super Bowl rings.
I think that's fair. I think Brady probably
It is as symbiotic a relationship as you could get.
As you can get, but if you really had to put the cart before the horse, I'd be putting Brady before Belichick. I would agree. I would. I mean, even Vince Lombardi had Bart Starr. Okay?
Yeah.
So, just saying.
Right.
All right. What about
I think this is very close to the Walsh Montana relationship.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because
I agree with that.
I don't think Montana would have had four Super Bowls with any other team or other coach, and I don't think Bill Walsh would have had four without Montana as his QB.
And what about the rant he was talking about now?
The rant about players. I want to clarify a little bit, what I said. That, fans, I think today, fans care much more about wins and losses than players actually do long term. In the immediate aftermath of a loss, or a win for that matter, the emotions are running high. I mean, I'm in the locker room within 15 minutes of a game ending, every game. So I see the raw emotion still from guys who, like Danny Amendola the other day, for instance, it took him a lot to compose himself and come up with the right words for his answers because he was still feeling the raw wound of dropping that pass in the end zone. But once he got home that night, once he got a good night's sleep, the next day, the light switch was turned off. He was ready to focus on Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And when the season ends, whether it ends in a Super Bowl win or not, after a week or two, the bottom line is these guys still have 6 and 7 figures in the bank set for life. They have beautiful wives and girlfriends. They don't care as much as the fans do about winning and losing over a long stretch of time. Fans call us in the offseason sometimes 4 and 5 months into the offseason and be like, I still haven't even listened to anything about football or watched the Super Bowl because I can't deal with it. These guys aren't doing that.
They're not like that.
Not anymore. No. There might have been a time when that was the case, but it's not like that anymore.
Before the money grew to obscene proportions.
Yes, and that supersedes everything nowadays.
I agree.
Guys, now certainly, again, like I said, in the heat of the moment, right after a game, of course they're competitive. That's why they play sports. They're competitive by nature. But because they're so well paid nowadays, they don't have the emotional investment, especially not for a team anymore. Because, you know, in the old days, it was like you got drafted by a team. You were with that team for your career,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. Nowadays, like the whole Jets-Patriots rivalry. I mean, a guy could be playing for the Jets this week and the Patriots next week.
Right.
He doesn't care about the Jets-Patriots rivalry.
Like our boy Sudfeld. Yeah.
He cares about who's delivering his paycheck, who's signing his paycheck that week.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to the money with these guys now. They don't have the emotional attachment that fans have to the wins and losses. That was my point in that part of my rant.
Yeah. Jacoby Ellsbury, too. Yeah. Baseball, absolutely. Going from the Sox to the Yankees. Which is, I mean, that's verboten.
That's happened before. That happens a lot, though.
But it was all about the money, you know?
Of course it is.
But I'm not saying it shouldn't be. Put yourself in his position.
You'd be doing it about the money, too. Why else would you move to another job for more money?
I was just coming up with another example of what Eric was talking about.
I agree. I agree. All right. Hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Told you I had a good one for you today, John.
I'm waiting.
It's a Latin word.
Oh, see, now I took Latin.
Desideratum.
Desideratum. D-E... S.
Rook's going to know this one.
Mm-hmm.
D-E-S. All right, I got to decide. I-D.
Yes.
E-R-A-T-U-M. Yes.
Bingo.
Because back when he was, you know, in grade school, all they spoke
well,
was
Well, he knew Nero.
Oh.
He went to school with Nero and Caligula, right? Caligula was a UT guy, wasn't he?
Oh, God.
That was a good one.
Oh, my God. All right, I deserve that.
So, desideratum, you Latin scholar, you give me your best guess as to what that means.
All right, I'm thinking. I'm probably going to fail this miserably. Desideratum, it has to do with decision-making process.
Not exactly.
Okay.
What
is it exactly?
It is something that is desperately needed or wanted. And I will use it in a sentence.
Okay.
A win in Baltimore this weekend is a desideratum for these New England Patriots.
Okay. All right. Well, then. All right. Oh, what the hell do you know?
I'm just taking his word for it.
If that were on an SAT test, I would have gotten multiple choice on that damn thing.
That's how Rooks got to where he is today. Multiple choice, I'm telling you. Give him a fill in the blank, he's screwed.
Wow. Kevin is killing me today.
Jeez, really?
I brought you Miss Robin's cookies today,
too. Oh, seriously,
too.
Thank you, by the way, Robin. I already had 3 of them. And I had to stop myself when we went on the air.
All I need to do
is
bring Robin to the party. Okay.
Yeah, by the way, you got to bring her in one of these days.
I am. Number one, she's a hot chick. So just like, you know, our boy Mike, mm-hmm. he wants hot chicks. That's number one. And number two, she's a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
I scored big time.
She's a hot dish with a hot dish.
Yeah. Yeah. I scored. Thank you very much.
That's why my brain just went in the gutter when you were like, I brought you Miss Robin's cookies. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're feeling bad about it.
Miss Robin's going to make an in-studio appearance.
She's
one of these
going
days,
to.
Huh?
She will.
The invite's been extended, Eric. We're just waiting.
Season's running out on us.
I know. It's going to happen. She's out of school as of this week.
Okay.
So after this week, maybe next Thursday, the that day would
be,
Christmas.
That would be nice.
Yeah, because we'll be previewing the Buffalo game.
That would
that
be great.
Day, right? Okay.
That'd be great. Then she can slap me when I get a word that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Thanks again for the cookies. They are really good.
All right, go do your interview.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Go. See you. All right, talk to you tomorrow. All right, we're going to hold on to it right here. I got a couple of callers online. Got some stuff I want to get to. Not taking the break just yet. So Mike in Revere has been kind enough to hang on through all of this. Mike, you're in the playbook.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Excellent, Mike. How's it going?
Great, man. Thank you for having my me on.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for hanging in there.
I decided to call you when you said that there was very little to nothing that I could actually latch onto that's good about this Patriots team. So I went online while I was on hold.
Okay.
And slowly but surely, as I looked through the stats, I kind of realized you were right.
Wait, Eric, did you hear that? Before you leave the studio, did you hear what Mike and Revere just said? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, Mike just said he was on hold for 20 or 30 minutes while we were doing these interviews, right? Okay, on hold. And he went through the stats. He had a chance to look through everything what I mentioned off the top of the show, like I couldn't find anything good about this team.
Yeah.
He agrees with me.
No, I said you're kind of right. There's a few minor...
I'm just kind of right. Oh, okay.
There's minor things like first downs per game. We're second in the league. I don't know if that counts for much except as a managerial style offense, which is not where we thrive. Anyway, I came up with an idea, though, instead for next year.
Okay, fair. Go.
And it's very similar to what Baltimore has done with Michael Oher. You take Nate Solder, who I think is a very powerful, good tackle,
mm-hmm.
away from the speed rushers at the left side, and you put him on the right tackle, where you're up against more of the strong side linebacker slash big, tough defensive end rather than the speed rushes, because they say he's not a natural bender and he's almost too tall for his own good.
I've actually heard that suggestion made before, Mike, and I tend to agree that that might be his best position. The problem here is where or who or what do you do to replace him? Now, I've also heard that if he's healthy, that one of the best tackles in the game, regardless of spot, is Sebastian Vollmer. And maybe you just flip-flop those two guys.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. He was such a prize when we found Vollmer undrafted. Couldn't believe it. That's what I've been thinking this entire year. I was kind of hoping we'd start out the year like
well,
that.
Well, he was drafted, but he was kind of under the radar as a draftee.
Oh, he was. I thought he went undrafted.
University of Houston. Yep. Okay. He was drafted.
I was really hoping you would at least give that a try, because I think someone like Vollmer would be great for it. I never see him missing a tackle missing a block. He seems to be in the right position for where he's at. I'd love to see them switch up. And it's the same thing they did with Oher, and it seems to be working out.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a pretty good suggestion. It's probably one of those things that we have to kind of, you know, deal with in the off season when we start talking about combos and how to rebuild this team and, you know, how to make it better and how really, here's the big question for me, Mike, in the off season. How can this team improve its depth? Because I think we all know that the 17-week season is a war of attrition. And so the teams that are going to be left standing at the top are the teams that have prepared themselves for the eventuality that you are going to be decimated by injuries and you're going to lose two or three key starters. It happens to everybody, and it has happened to everybody this year. But the teams that are thought of in the light, you know, as being the power teams this year, Seattle's one of them, they're the deeper teams. San Francisco is another deeper team. Denver, really pathetic defense right now, but they're still pretty deep on offense with the weapons that they have. So, you know, in the AFC, it's a crapshoot. NFC, the two deepest teams happen to both be in the same division, in my estimation. That's where the Patriots really need to build from within. They've got to get that depth back up to a level where we were about two or three years ago.
Well, I think you're absolutely right with that. However, did you see the stat during the game where it showed how much money we're missing in injuries due to players being injured?
I saw that. Yeah, I mean, it's Fort Knox. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that is insane. Like, I do think you're right about depth. However, I don't think anyone could have counted on losing this much at the top end.
No, but that's why you have to score with your undrafted free agents. And frankly, with Villano and Jones, for the most part, I think the Patriots have done that. So while you can certainly criticize some of the, especially the draft choices that the Patriots brain trust has made, you got to give them credit in the other, regard for coming up huge in the undrafted free agency market, because they're getting guys that are not only coming in and providing depth, they're getting guys that are producing as every down players. And that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
I really like the way Villano and Jones have come along. The only thing I just can't stand, they're so much better at getting to the quarterback than they are at stuffing the run.
Yeah.
And that still changes our entire defensive philosophy because now you just can't commit so many guys to try and blitz off the edge because they can come right up the middle and then they're in open space.
Yeah.
I think we did score for depth, but I think those guys, really, we'd be best off if we could just use them as pass rush specialists.
You know what, Mike, I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head. And guess what? You've given me a positive that I guess I sort of glossed over and all the negativity. But, you know, the fact that the Patriots have these UFAs on this roster that are producing, that's pretty good right there. That's as good a one as I think that anybody can come up with. And kudos to you for pointing it out.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, how about, I want you to come to the party. So bring some stuff. What are we having?
All right, music-wise, I was thinking about the album Tommy from The Who.
Ooh. Now, that's an interesting choice. I was just thinking about that about 2 or 3 weeks ago with a buddy of mine who we go way back on the Who. And honestly, and I saw them in concert last year. They came actually to the Providence Dunkin' Donuts Center, and it was a gas. It was an absolute gas. There's a 1970s term for you, gas. And it was just a blast. And those two guys, for guys who are in their 70s, they can still flat out rock. They absolutely.
Yeah.
Peter Townsend is a friggin' magician.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely. Hall of Fame rock and roll. Right
no.
There.
No doubt. And I enjoyed. And Roger Daltrey is an icon. He's just an icon. All right. So that's a great choice of music. I hope that our beverage and food choices are going to be right up there.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of Sky Vodka lately. I think it's moderately priced, yet it's really smooth, and it's one of the few things I can drink straight without my acid reflux firing up.
Okay.
So that kind of influenced my decision.
All right, buying it.
And food choices, I really am a fan of stuffed clams.
Some stuffed quahogs.
Oh, yeah. You bring in a couple of trays of those, and you got a real party atmosphere.
Oh, stuffies. The man has got stuffies. I'm liking it. All right, you're invited.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
That's good stuff, Mike. That's awesome. Good suggestions. Very good suggestions. Oh, I'm digging it. All right. Keep it going here. 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free telephone number. Come on. I know you've got party suggestions. I know that you can be at least similar to Mike, and Revere. All right? And come up with something positive, that we're just not aware of right now about this Patriots team. Player, coach, play, something. Something we can hang a hat on here. And he's come up with a really, really good one. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
All right. The positive, well, like I said, in the beginning with the rookies, you know, when they had to adjust a little bit, but now that they're out and they're hurt, off the line, some game. But other than that, I found very little. You know, those injuries, like the guy just said, hurt us at the top. But I blame management for a couple of years, man. Like, you keep drafting and keeping the same guy, especially in the secondary. You know, and for him coming from the Giants, you know, linebacker-wise, you know, 6'3", or 6'4", 270, they can't cover backs, they can't cover tight end. And you're going to need some athletic linebacker, at least once in a while. But what gets me is how you miss two players that played at UMass and one played at Boston College. How you miss Victor Cruz and how you miss Euclid for the Carolina Panthers.
Keekly, yeah.
In your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you miss talent like that. And then pausing the next man up. Well, if the next man up is good, I can go with that. But if they show for years they still can't cover, they still can't, you know, play the potential, why you keep bringing them back and paying them $16 million? You know, that's money wasted on some talent that you could have got.
All right, so far you give me some good negatives. Where's the positive?
Positive, we're going to work the devil out of Baltimore because we need to be in the win. That's about the only positive thing I can come up with, be honest with you. You know, that's about it.
Okay.
I've been holding my hat. I wear my jersey proud. I wear my cap. I wear my jacket. You know, I ain't playing my boys on PlayStation.
And you have to be the Patriots, right?
have to be the Patriots. Matter of fact, on PS3, my handle is Patriots 1287. That's Brady and Gronk. The world's Moss. Jim Moss got cut. So I had to go to Brady and Gronk.
Wow. Beauty about PlayStation and Xbox and all that stuff is that nobody goes on IR.
No, nobody goes on IR. No, they don't. But like I said, the real life guys, I just can't understand. I know Bill's a good motivator, a good thinker, a good game analyst or whatever. But I'm just wondering how you're missing on the talent. And then as I was really corrected on NFL, the first one, before y'all were ending them, we won 3 championships. But I'm going to tell you again, we won with Bill's guy, Bill mm-hmm. Parcell guy. We won 2 with Bill Belichick guy. We lost 2 with them. And that's being honest.
All right.
That's being honest.
Yeah. So far I'm buying it. Okay. Fair enough.
So like I said, I hope in the offseason we do a little better. We do get some depth. I hope Dobson and Thompson can play this week. I haven't heard of one way or the other.
The shoulder wasn't in practice today, but the receivers, the Wookiees, were there. So, I think that's at least a step in the right direction. The more depth you have, the more choices that Brady has if, they've got to wing the football. See, look, Baltimore may be the best defense they face for the rest of this year, and that's assuming they get into the playoffs. That being the case, if they can, this is a great way that if you figure out a way to overcome all the obstacles that we've already kind of piled in their way here and all the doom and gloom that we've talked about over the last, show and a half, especially in light of what happened this last weekend in Miami. Best part about it is that this team can set itself up for a tremendous playoff run. If you go out, you spread it around, you're aggressive, you run, you hit all your targets, and everybody's on the same page. The opportunity to succeed is still very much there for this team. We just question, I just question, Andy questions, Eric questions, everybody apparently but Fred questions whether or not they're capable of pulling that off. I would agree with Fred in this regard. They are capable of pulling it off. They are capable. That doesn't mean they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're capable, but this got to be a must-win. Buffalo is a must-win also.
Well, Buffalo's, without a doubt, it's must-win, because if you lose to Baltimore, you got to beat Buffalo just to get in the playoffs. So, because if you lose to Buffalo, you're not getting in. And I had a couple of emailers tell me yesterday, shoot, if they lose to Buffalo and Baltimore, they don't deserve to be in. Now, I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with it, but, the record might say otherwise. It depends. Because if Miami somehow loses, then the Patriots are going to back their way in.
Yep. But, like I said, the way Miami's playing now towards the end, we should have won that game. But I'm like the other week, why you quit running? Why you quit running?
Yeah, we worked that one over ad nauseum yesterday, brother. And all I can tell you is that I don't have an answer for it. I think the play calling was just dumb. And it was unimaginative at best. It was predictable. If you've got, armchair quarterbacks saying that, watch, here comes a stupid pass play, it's 3rd and 2. Sure enough, stupid pass play appears. So, I mean, if it's that bad where we're all predicting it, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Clearly, something's wrong.
Especially when you ain't got Gronk, you ain't got somebody tall up on the outside or in the middle that can go get it.
I know.
You ain't no red zone threat. And they said Boyce got hurt, but Boyce ain't at practice. Did he get hurt during Miami's game?
Who got hurt?
George Boyce, number 82.
No, I don't think he got hurt. I think he was taken out of the game because of a couple of drops.
I mean, they didn't take Edelman and they didn't take Amendola out of the game for a couple of drops. And a couple of those touchdowns.
I understand that. I totally get that. I don't have any, but I have a huge problem with their punitive, arrangements on this team anyway. I think they're just flat out dumb. Just dumb.
Some things I do too. Yeah. But that's just it. But, John, you have a good day, man. I got to make this delivery.
Thanks, Eldridge.
Have a good one. All right.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. All right. We'll get the break in now here. So, Now's your chance to climb aboard. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. By the way, Eldridge told us what he's bringing for the party yesterday, so I wasn't going to ask him again today. 855-PATS-500, webradio@patriots.com, the email, at JR Broadcaster, Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, number one, beverage. Number two, snack. Number three, music, music CD. What are you bringing to the Patriots.com radio party, Christmas party? And number two, I need some positive aspect of this team to hang a hat on. Talk me down out of the tree, coming up in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit GotToGetFios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Well into hour number two inside the Playbook here for a Wednesday. John Rook along with you at 855-PATS-500. Email is webradio at patriots.com. Mentioned that Nate Solder missed practice today, and yes, Josh Boyce also was missing from practice today. Previous caller had asked why he was not, you know, in the game. And I obviously thought it was because of the couple of the drops that he had had. He did apparently have a right foot injury of some sort, that apparently caused him to miss practice today as well. So, unbeknownst to me, I thought it was simply because of the, a couple of the drop issues that he had in the game. It might be an issue for him this week. We'll know more in approximately 35 minutes when the injury report comes out, but I did want to at least bring that in there. All right, so here we go. Back to the phones. Overall, got a lot of emails that we're going to get to as well, but here's Andrew in Buffalo. Andrew, welcome to the Playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you know, it's funny because me and Eldridge seem like we have the same right.
Yep.
I don't see any good in that as far as the playoffs. Like you were saying, what is the only good thing that we have in the playoffs? I think that would be Brady and Bill Belichick, because they've been there, they've done that, they've been through that, that pressure of winning in the playoffs. And I think that's the only good thing going for the Patriots.
Well, you can. Sure, Andrew, and I won't disagree with that, but I would tell you that, both of those two gentlemen have undergone their fair share of scrutiny, and derision, if you will, and it's deserved, because Brady has been off the mark, and it's not all just because he's got, Wookiee receivers or anything like that. It's a lot of it is because he's thrown down at receivers' ankles. He's thrown behind them. Belichick has, you can certainly make the case that he hasn't done a great job of talent evaluation. You can also make a great case that he hasn't done a great job of even delegating authority when it comes to ideas like play calling. So, yes, I think overall, you look at the big picture, there's no doubt that the Patriots are where they are because of those two gentlemen in the overall scheme of things. But even the most perfect player, play, team is going to have its faults, and those two guys are certainly not without them. The big question mark comes now, and that is, how do they, can they, bounce out of this particular predicament, and I'm of the opinion they can't. Doesn't mean they won't. I just don't think they can right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm thinking more realistic than optimistic. I mean, everybody, you love your team and you want them to win, but you got to look at the fact we just got too many injuries to overcome and not enough talent on both sides of the ball. Even special teams is an issue. And I think that's what Baltimore can get us. That special teams is a real problem with Jacoby Jones, the kicker, Tucker, and, Jacoby Jones, even on offense, he's the kind of guy that can do the same damage Mike Wallace did to us. Even Torrey Jones, Ted Ginn, when he made Kyle Arrington miss. Those speed guys, they can't seem to tackle. One of the, basic things in football you should be able to do is tackle. We're not doing that right now. We're not scaring anybody. We're not being physical. It's just going to be, I don't know. I think I'm hanging it up, but I'm going to watch them to the end.
Well, yeah, it's almost like I heard from a Patriots fan earlier this week who basically said they can't stand to watch this team, but then they can't not watch this team. It's almost like, you're expecting the car accident to come and you're kind of shying away from it, but you're bracing yourself for the impact. But then once the impact happens, you got to see it. You got to see it. And I kind of understand that thought process, because you're expecting some carnage, but, at the same time, you hope it doesn't hurt too bad. So, I don't know that you can have it both ways, but I understand that feeling. You are hoping that you're wrong, but you kind of know that, you've had a virus for a while and, now you're just waiting for the full-fledged flu to come and nail you. And that's kind of how I look at this right now. All the signs, all the warnings, all of everything, is the symptoms are all there for this team to go down in a heap of flames at the end of this year. And I pretty much spent the majority of yesterday's program kind of talking about that, which is why I wanted to come in with at least a little bit of a different tack today. And even though we've had a couple of decent suggestions here today, I'm still not convinced overall that the inevitable is going to be delayed perhaps any more than just next week. That's the scary part about all this. And what Eric and I opened up the program with today was, this time a week ago, we're talking about number one seed in the AFC. And now a week later, we're talking about maybe missing the playoffs. That's the remarkable atmosphere in which the present-day NFL operates. It shows you that, it's not just Patriots fans who are nuts for thinking one way and then having, these thought process come into play soon thereafter. It just shows you this is the volatility of the sport of pro football as we now have it. So, if there's a way that you can kind of latch on to something and do something that you know you're good with and you know you're good at, why wouldn't you stick with it when everything else is so much in upheaval? And that, to me, that's the one thing about this Patriots football team that I really am having a hard time with, because you know, we know that this team, you know, apparently can run the football and run it fairly effectively. And when you had the problems that you had at receiver and some of the inconsistencies that you had at quarterback and an offensive line that really hasn't measured up to anyone's expectation this year, why are you doing some of the play calling that you're doing? I personally believe that some of these decisions that are being made from the sidelines or in the press box, wherever they're coming from, some of these decisions have cost these Patriots an opportunity to win a couple of games. And right now, that's the difference between being where they are and already having the number one seed locked up.
Right. And it goes back to the answer. I think you already answered that question. Maybe a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember, but you said that they think they have the team that they had last year. And it's just not the same team.
Yes.
I told you before the Miami game, we're going to have to change to a run-first team. That's the only way. I think Ridley, even though he has the fumble issues, he is our best. I don't know. I have to say that he's the best player on offense behind Brady. Edelman is coming on big, but he can't do it by himself for long. You know, it's like mammoths out there and gazelles and lions.
Mm-hmm.
He could get injured, making him the focal point of the offense.
I know.
He has to run that ball with Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, I agree.
You just got to do it. And I was hearing the PFW guys earlier, you know, Andy, you know, him and Fred had disagreements about, you know, the way, because Fred thinks the Patriots defense is going to get better. I'm going to have to agree with Andy. I think you are who you are. It's not going to get better. You know, Kyle Arrington got that groin injury. He keeps the lead with the hip. And guys, I just think that it is what it is, and you just got to work with what you have. It's not going to get better. At this point of the season, what you see is what you got. We had this discussion last year. The defense wasn't playing that well late in the season, you know. So I just think we got to work with what we got, and then hopefully in the draft we can clear some of this up as far as depth.
Andrew, I couldn't agree more. The problem is some of the play calling is not allowing you to take advantage of you to work with what you've got. It's taking the ball out of your hands when it doesn't need to be taken out of your hands.
Right.
That's my whole problem. A lot of these problems that they've had, in spite of the injuries, they're still shooting themselves in the foot because of some idiotic decisions on the sideline.
Right. Run that clock. Burn some clock and let that defense rest a little bit.
No kidding.
You know, throwing the ball and getting three and out or backing up in your own, you know, just getting sacked or there's a penalty, whatever it is. They got to help that defense out.
And the scary part of it is that you and I, as relative football neophytes, we can figure this out and nobody else can. What are we missing here? What are we missing here? I'm asking. That's not just a rhetorical question, okay? That's a serious question. What are we missing? That's what I would ask Bill Belichick. That's what I would ask Josh McDaniels. What are we missing? Tell me. Why are we so off base here when it seems like the entire free world can see it and you can't? What are we missing?
Players, we got to play better. We got to do better. Like, just keep saying the same stuff. I mean, where do y'all think?
That's just not. It doesn't. It's worn. I'm way past that. Okay, we got to execute better. We got to coach better. Duh. That's what I would say. Yes. Duh. You know. So.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. All right, brother.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Andrew in Buffalo. Let me get to some of these emails here too. By the way, Mary, who sent us the Christmas bark. And the Christmas cards yesterday. Thank you, Mary. And by the way, delicious. That was my late night snack last night, coming back from a basketball game. Good job out of you. She says, hi, I'm taking champagne and bruschetta to the party. And the music is going to be Aaron Neville's version of Ave Maria. Woo-hoo! She's highfalutin', isn't she? Champagne and bruschetta? Okay, you're in. Silvio. Guys, everything was lined up for us to finally take ring number 4. A weak AFC, the Giants out of the playoffs, cold weather, potentially bad weather, Super Bowl location, and our defense finally looked capable, but then we got bit by the injury bug, and although I still haven't given up on the season, I just think we're too banged up to make a run because it's getting to the point now where one more injury at several position groups can be catastrophic. On to next year. Oh, my. Do you see this offseason being like the 07 offseason where we bring in a lot of firepower for Tom? Oh, God. Silvio, you bailed, right? That's you. With the bucket in hand, you are bailing the water out of the dinghy, baby. because the ship's going down. Wow. Well, see, I kind of thought that we were that way last year. This offseason, like 07, where you bring in a lot of firepower, well, they need to bring in firepower. But, I thought they'd have brought in firepower this last year, knowing that Brady's opportunity of, you know, for success, his window of opportunity, if you will, continues to shrink by the day, not season, not year, by the day. So I thought they would have done a better job with that this year, and they clearly did not. So I don't know that I can honestly answer that question for you. I'm not just copping out here. I don't know the answer to that. They need a lot of help in a lot of different areas, and while I'm not entirely ready to jump into the offseason, because like many fans, I think I still have hope for this team, that just as long as they're able to turn the corner in one positive sense somewhere, get a break, make a play, it can snowball for you. The one thing that this defense has been good at up until the last few weeks is turning opponents over. If this defense can pick Flacco, force a fumble, get a kicking game mistake done, which is probably unlikely with the way Justin Tucker's playing for Baltimore, but if they can come up with a turnover and give the team a short field with which to work and get seven out of it, none of this three stuff. I think we're all thankful for Gostkowski and the year that he's had, but this team has to convert seven in the red zone. If they can do that, and I think we realize they're still capable of, even without some of the weapons they have, then they can still have success this year. Success begat success. It snowballs. And I think that's really all they need. They need one something-something somewhere to get this thing started, get them into the playoffs, clinch this thing, and then worry about having some success. Get that bye week. Still all within reach. It's still all within their own power. They can control that destiny of getting that week off. Got to win this week, though. As far as the offseason, I wish I could say that. I don't know. I think, the first thing that they have to look at, realistically speaking, is offensive line. With the injury problems and the lack of overall success that they've had, I think that's got to be one. I think you're going to have to look at linebacker again, unfortunately, because I don't know that you're going to get much more than what you've seen out of Spikes and Hightower. They can always bring in another cornerback, another safety, but primarily a corner. They can always bring in another tackle or a rush end. They can always bring in another wide receiver. I mean, pick an area. Pick an area of need that you don't think that they need for next year, so to speak. You can't even say quarterback. You can't even realistically say quarterback. We're set at quarterback. Well, you can't say that now. He's in the twilight of his career. If you're convinced Ryan Mallett's the guy, well, then I guess that's the only one that you can say. There's just not an area on this team. Frankly, they need a tight end in the worst way now, don't they? That's a lot of firepower that this team needs and a lot of role-playing that this team needs. Ray in North Carolina says, the cheerleaders are doing a good job. You got me there, Ray. He even made me snort. That's good. John says, reason one, this team, the Pats, plays for 60 minutes and has never been out of a game this year, including the Denver game. You know, that's probably as good a one as any too, John, and I appreciate your sending that, because sometimes we're so close to the forest you can't see the trees. You understand that saying, right? We tend to kind of look at this glass as half empty. I am more normally a glass half full kind of guy, an optimist rather than a pessimist, but I've been looking at this somewhat pessimistically. If you look at it optimistically, you'd have to say, well, shoot, this team is certainly, not out of games. This team certainly has a way of fighting back. This team certainly has a way to coming from behind. Getting behind in the first place is another matter entirely, but they know how to do it. And that's why I think this Sunday's game against Baltimore sets up to be a beaut. Baltimore is the same way. Nine games for this Ravens team that have been decided by, 4 points or less. and they've won their last three in a row that way after starting the year 2-4 in their first six. So this is a team that does not panic. It's a team that, you know, continues to measure the situation as the game unfolds. This is a team that has supreme and utmost confidence in itself based on winning a Super Bowl last year. The Patriots are not far behind that in the sense that they, too, know that they can come from behind if they need to. That's a great battle. Somebody is going to lose this game. Somebody's going to win this game. Which team is better equipped? And right now, Baltimore's got the home field advantage. Baltimore plays as well at home as the Patriots play at home. Patriots have had some susceptibilities, if you will, on the road this year. They're just 3-4 away from home. You'd really have to say, realistically speaking, edge Baltimore. But if you can keep it to 2 or 3 point game, keep it manageable, not let the Ravens get away from you. And by all rights and reasons, I don't know that that happens unless you turn the ball over 3 or 4 times. And if you turn the ball over 3 or 4 times in a short field and you give the Ravens some easy scores and touchdowns, not just field goals, then I think the game could get away from you. But, the Ravens offense is not overwhelming. They don't run the ball particularly well, as we talked about with Jeff Zriebeck earlier. You know, so, and they kicked 6 field goals to win the game against Detroit the other night. 6 field goals. 18 points. That's all they had. That's all they got. You think, well, the Patriots can get 18 points. Well, sure they can. Even against Baltimore's defense, I would certainly say, yeah, I think the Patriots' offense is capable of scoring 18 points, probably more. How much are you giving up on the other end? This is a great battle. This may be the best battle of the week, and that's what you got to love about football this time of year. Eric said it in the opening hour, repeat it here. It's playoff mode, must-win mode right now. Baltimore, though, has been doing the must-win thing longer. They've basically been in must-win mode since they lost to Chicago a month ago. When they lost to Chicago a month ago, the Ravens were 4-6. They've won 4 straight since then. And now not only do they hold on to the 6th spot in the wild card, they're only a game back of Cincinnati, and they've got a realistic shot at the division championship and hosting a home game. That's a good way. That's, you know, you'd have to say that, you know, took them a while, but the champs, you know, champs are probably back in that regard. They're probably back. Crazy as it sounds, but they're probably back. But you're right, John. Thank you. They play for 60 minutes. They've never been out of a game. Garland says, I know stopping the run game has been a hot topic. In the past 2 games, it appears that adding Silver Salinga to the defense has helped in this area. Now, I know the Browns and Dolphins don't have a great running game, but it appears that Silver has made a difference. He doesn't get pushed around like Villano. Always seems to be making his way toward the quarterback. Could he be a great find for this team? Sure. Now, how do we fix Hightower? He can't cover the pass. Well, I think we've kind of seen that. He's much better, I think, against backs than he is against receivers. But as I said to a poster on my Facebook page earlier, they're asking him to do some things that he's just not adept at. They need to put Dante Hightower in a position to succeed as opposed to a position to where, you know, failure is really the only option. I'm not sure where that is, and I'm not sure that even the Patriots are the team in which he can succeed in that realm. I'm still not sold that Hightower is a bust. I'll stick by that. I'd love to give him his 3rd year next year, and let's see if he can continue to develop as a solid professional linebacker. So I don't know how much fixing there is to do other than, all right, let's put this guy in a position where he can actually succeed and can have success for this team, because we took him. We drafted him. How do we fix him? I think that's going to be one of the charges of Matt Patricia and the defense. Let's fix the guy. Pepper Johnson. Let's fix the guy. Let's see if we can't turn him into what we really think he should be. That's what concerns me the most right now about him. Jerome says, guys, forecast for Sunday, roughly a 50-50 chance of rain in Baltimore. Do you like our chances with bad weather? I think we have a better run game. Could weather be our lifesaver? For the love of God, just win. Jerome sounds like another frustrated Patriots fan. Yeah. You know, I don't think bad weather phases New England at all. I'm not sure it phases Baltimore much at all either, just because of, you know, them, you know, winning in Denver as they have in the past, and, you know, it doesn't seem to phase them much. So I think that's sort of a I think that sort of is an equalizer there. I do think the Patriots have a better run game. Problem is, they just don't know how to stick with it. Baltimore's pretty good against the run. So this might be an opportunity. I think that the Patriots' offensive line, as maligned as it has been this year, and really maligned is probably even too rough a phrase. You'd probably have to say inconsistent more than anything else, because it has had some very good moments. And yes, it has overcome some significant injuries. And yes, it, you know, Brady's been hit, but then at the same time, you know, there are some weeks where Brady, you know, hardly gets touched. So I actually thought that the offensive line did a representative job last week. Representative, not great. That's just sort of somewhere between milk and toast. I do think, though, that any offensive lineman will tell you they'd much rather run block than pass block. And so if they're blasting forward and they're on the offensive, then you probably stand a better chance of having success against the guy in front of you. And I think this offensive line would love to run the ball. And I think this offensive line would love to just pound, 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 and pound. Problem is, you do have to win your block. You do have to beat the man in front of you so the running back has a crease in which to, you know, generate positive yardage. Baltimore's given up under 4 yards per carry. I think they're somewhere around 3.7, 3.8. If you give a back of football three times at 3.8 yards per carry, you're going to get a first down out of it. The problem here is sticking with something. And that's what I'm not really seeing. Maybe it's just my imagination, but I don't think so. I think we're too quick to change just because we can. I mean, we know that this football team is as good as any in the NFL, realistically speaking, in adjustments, although I don't think they adjusted well at all this past week against Miami, and I'm going to give the credit to the Miami coaching staff for making the adjustments they needed to win. Remember, the Patriots led that game at halftime. And I think they were more of the same, but the adjustments they made, I don't think were effective at all. In fact, you could make the case that the adjustments they made added to the fact that they lost the game. So when you make adjustments, they're not all positive. Sometimes you can make adjustments and they backfire. And I kind of think that's what happened this last week. Miami outcoached New England. So I want to see New England get back on the right track. Maybe it's better if they actually have to adjust from behind at halftime. I don't know. I think it's kind of sad. But at the same time, if that's what it takes to win, whatever. Stick with something. Let it work. Give it a chance to play. Give it a chance to play. I don't think Baltimore's going to run away from you with an explosive offense unless you give up, you know, unless you get, you know, burnt deep, which I guess is possible with this defense. But if you just keep the guys in front of you, you're not going to get burnt. If you keep Baltimore in front of you, keep them within eye shot, ear shot, you can stick with the game plan, you can make this thing happen for you. You can make it happen. That's what you really have to, I think, concentrate on if you're the Patriots. Mike, the San Diego branch of Patriots Nation, he says, John, why some of our fans are bailing, I just can't figure out. Let me address them for a second. Look, people, I know we're hurt. I know we're severely depleted. But damn it, people, we still have Tom Brady, do we not? Do we not have Bill? Say it with me. Yes, we do. Now, do I expect the Pats to go on to the Super Bowl and win this year? No. Would it be nice? Hell yes, it would. But some of you have the freaking audacity to think the Pats are done this year. Then please do me a favor. I dare you to have some faith. He says they're not losing their minds, so why the hell are you? Our fan club, Pat City in San Diego, is now 150 strong, still has faith in our team. Remember one thing, and then I'm done. We are Boston, and we are Boston strong. We will prevail, so you keep your bleeps in your seats and don't bail. Fourth ring goes on the pinky finger this year. Keep doing your thing, John, no matter whether I agree with you or not, man. I still love and support the show, and all of us here at Pat City support New England's 60-minute men. Do your job, Pats. Give them hell on Sunday. Mike, who says he's the master of arms, master at arms of Pat City, the San Diego branch of Patriots Nation. All right, Michael, thank you for the pep talk. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes it's appropriate. I'd say most of the time it's appropriate. Mary Beth sends this on Facebook. She says, Patriots have consistently been competitive. I think the fans expect too much from an injury-laden team. I agree that sometimes the play calling is ridiculous, but on the upside, Big Vince will be back next season. And she says, looking forward to a win this weekend. I hope you are right. I would expect, like a lot of other people, that Big Vince would be back next season. And while that is for next season, we're trying to figure out how do you get something left out of this season? And is it even possible to do so? Sounds to me like you're slipping a little bit, Mary Beth. Where's that loyal faith? Where is it? Sounds to me like we're kind of, sounds like there's a crack there somewhere in the facade. I don't know. Raymond puts this up on Facebook. He says, John, on your show, you're asking for one good thing that the Patriots may be able to gain an advantage going into the playoffs. I will say our running game, and here's why. The health of that group is in very good shape. They are not being utilized to the full potential. And even though there has been players benched for fumbles, how do we stack up for fumbles against other teams? I think Bill should just live with the fact that Ridley may be somewhat of a risk, but we need to allow him and Blunt to run the ball more often. Also, let Vereen keep receiving out of the backfield. Raymond, you're spot on. You're heading in the right direction. Our problem is, though, is that while we all kind of see what you're seeing here, the play calling has dictated otherwise, and we're kind of wondering why. Why do you throw an upfield pass on third and one? Is that Josh or is that Tom checking out of it? Shame on both of them then. Honestly, if you're coming from behind and you're in a plus territory and it's late in the game and it's third and one and you're throwing the ball upfield, that's the dumbest thing you can do. Because if you're a championship contender and you can't make 1 yard on two consecutive plays, then you don't need to be in that position to begin with. So that's what I'd love to see happen. Let's just run the ball. Let's give our guys a chance to be consistent. I want to see somebody. It should be Ridley, but I want to see somebody get 20 carries this week against Baltimore. Now, Baltimore's stacking the line, daring Tom to pass up the field. You know what? Then you take what the defense gives you and you try to beat them with it. I don't think Baltimore's going to do that. I don't really see that Baltimore doing that. I don't think Baltimore has to do that. I think Baltimore will play base and say, all right, take your best shot. Take your best shot. I still think the Patriots have enough weapons on offense in the passing game to be effective against that secondary and that linebacking core. I want to see them use the pass to loosen up the run. That's kind of what I want to see them do this week. That would be my initial inclination. I also want to see, and I've had a couple of people email me this, and actually tweet me this over the last couple of days. What happened to the no huddle? I'd love to see some up-tempo. I'd love to see some rhythm out of this offense. I'd love to see somehow, some way, Baltimore's defense not get in a comfort zone to the point where they're dictating the tempo and the pace of play. I want to see Baltimore back on its heels. I want to see Baltimore have to burn a timeout because they're not in the proper defensive sets. That's what I want to see. Then I know that the Patriots are thinking proactively, not reactively. I think up-tempo is the way to go. I think you got to try to gas the other guys. And I certainly believe that you're playing in an environment like you're going to play at on Sunday, that you want to take the crowd out of the game. You know, Baltimore is just as desperate, if not more so than you, to win this game. And they feel like, you know, we got the advantage because we're at home. Nobody realizes that the Patriots need this game just as badly as you do. Because you've got a real chance of missing out on the playoffs altogether, entirely, if you lose this game, because then you put everything, all the eggs, in the single basket of Buffalo in the following week. Keith says, here's something for you to chew on in the playbook, John. It's obviously good for Pats fans that the team is very likely to win the AFC East yet again, but I can't help but thinking, so what? The division's a bad one, which means the Pats only need to be the best of a bad bunch to get a hat and T-shirt. Wow. Do you think, as I'm coming to, that it would be better if the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins were all decent so the Pats would have to be fantastic to get into the playoffs? No, not necessarily. You know, I think this division actually this year overall, Keith, has been better than a lot of people have given it credit for. We've seen certainly you can make a case that Miami is as good as anybody right now in the AFC because of the way that they played over the last 3 or 4 weeks right there with Baltimore. The Jets have had their moments this year, and remember, yes, the Jets have beaten New England. The Bills are another matter entirely, but the Bills have also been eaten up by playoffs, by injuries too, that have kept them from being a playoff contender. That's just been part of the factor. I think there's still a few players away. And new coaching staff, they've got to kind of learn the drill. I actually think the AFC East is better than advertised. So no, I don't think that I don't think the defense necessarily is a bad one. I also don't think they're very likely to win the AFC East yet again, as you suggested. I think they've got to really battle for it, even though it only takes one Miami loss or one Patriot win to clinch it again for a fifth straight year. He says, for the party, I'm going to bring some Marston's Pedigree beer that's brewed about 10 miles from where I live on the other side of the pond. For nibbles, it'd have to be sausage rolls and Melton Mowbray pork pies, traditional British grub, and I'd bring Rumours by Fleetwood Mac as the CD. Keith, you're invited. We'll pay for your plane ticket. How's that? That's pretty good. You're going to bring the pork pies, too? Sweet. All right, Keith, that's excellent stuff by you, Bram. Excellent stuff. Couple of other thoughts here. I kind of am getting the impression overall that while this team might be beginning to doubt itself, and I think Tom Brady showed that in his emotions post-game after the game on Sunday because of the 55-second press conference and the utterance of one of those, you know, George Carlin seven words you can't say on television type of thing. I think now is the time where you've got to get a hold of yourself and say, look, if we are going to do this, this is what we all have to do. This is what we all have to try to accomplish pulling together. Sounds very cliche-ish, I know. But in all honesty, that's what teams that have talent and have desires and designs on advancing further, that's what they manage to do. There are some teams in the NFL, and I think we probably know who they are, who could not begin to even think about it, much less pull that off. The Patriots are not one of those teams. Yeah, they've got a heck of a challenge on their hand this Sunday. Baltimore's a hot team. Baltimore's the defending champ. Baltimore's at home. The Patriots are reeling. Patriots are staggering a bit. Patriots have a lot of injuries. There isn't a team in this league that hasn't been touched by injuries. You can make an argument, I think, for the Patriots being touched a little bit more than some of the others, but you know what? It's all relative. The teams, as we've said several times, the teams with the depth, the developed depth, are the ones that are going to overcome these injuries the best. Now, some teams would be devastated to the point where there's just going to be no recovering and you're just going to muddle through to the end of the season and try to recoup for next year. The Patriots have not arrived at that point yet. Whereas I'm sensing, you know, not only some frustration from the players, but frustration from the fans. Already taken a few emails from a couple of people like that today that they're kind of ready to point toward next year already. You might be mistaken. Because sometimes you find that your greatest victories lie in the journey. I'm not going to wax all philosophic on you here, but sometimes the greatest victories are in the journey itself. And even though you might not get to the ultimate prize this year, you know, I think we all know that for the Patriots, you know, the goal is the Super Bowl every year, and that's just the expectations now that have been placed upon this franchise and this organization and this individual team. Super Bowl or bust. And frankly, that's okay. That you've built that for yourself, so the expectation is going to be like that. But I'm trying to appreciate also some of the smaller things that we have a tendency to gloss over here because we are all spoiled, and that's the collective we. This is a struggle that hopefully might pay dividends, if not now, on down the line. And several times I've mentioned this to you, and I think it bears repeating again, second youngest team in terms of the number of first and second year players on the roster. Quite a metamorphosis from 2 years ago when this was the second oldest team in the NFL. So this is a learning process. These guys are holding on to something. They're, you know, Baltimore's trying to hold on to that bit of experience that some of the guys had in their Super Bowl team last year, and they're thinking now that that's paying benefits this year for this team, and it's a reason why this team is in the position to do what it's getting ready to do. And let's make a last-second push to get into the tournament and maybe have some success. Well, the Patriots could be in the same shape. If not this year, certainly next year. If you're able to keep around a lot of these players. And you don't go undergo wholesale changes like some are advocating. The old adage goes, sometimes you get so close to the forest you can't see the trees. Take a step back and look at the trees. And tell me, if you don't think that there's enough here already that you can't win with in the NFL, I think that there may be. There's certainly some improvements that are needed to be on the way, and we need to be smarter. Coaching staff included need to be smarter about some instances, and I don't think there's any denying that from anybody, and that includes the coaching staff themselves. But there's enough here to work with, and this team is 10-4. They may be hanging on by the skin of their teeth, but there may be enough here to pull this off. And I might just have convinced myself now in the last few minutes of this program today that this team actually does have a snowball's chance, and you know what, on Sunday. All right, it's going to wrap up this edition of Patriots Playbook. Tomorrow, of course, more on the Ravens. Russell Baxter, pro football guru, he'll be in the playbook as well. We'll continue with the party ideas. If you haven't had your, shall we say, suggestions as to beverage, snack, and music of choice.
Little Who to finish it out here, John.
I like it. Okay. Speaking of Adultery and Townsend, let's go. So we want all of those from you tomorrow. It'll be Prediction Thursday as well. So we're going to find out whether or not you, as listeners and as fans and as followers of this football team, are optimistic or pessimistic, realistic, or flat off your rocker. That's going to come tomorrow in the playbook. You're not going to want to miss it. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks to Jeff Zriebeck from the Baltimore Sun for joining us and giving us some insight on the Ravens, one of the hottest teams going in the NFL right now. St. Pat's time tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.